John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to just say I'm thankful for Sister Sonia putting up the bulletin and putting out all kinds of information together and getting it ready for us each and every week. And she puts in, I think, and I have one today. Sometimes I don't get one immediately, but she put in today a little thing there, and I want to encourage you to take advantage of. It's not just me, but it's a blessing. It's intended to be a blessing. So we preach on Sunday, and we talk to you, and we preach on Wednesday, and we talk to you, and we know that the time and distance restraints of meeting any more often, it's a big sacrifice. So thankfully, with a little bit of technology, with a little bit of, a little bit, I guess that's what it is, technology, we write unto you. And Paul, it was a very biblical ministry of Paul to write unto his churches. He was there and he could preach to them, but there are some things he wrote to them. And so some things we write to you. And I'm using a platform that we pay for, a space we pay for on the internet, and I've used my name for it right now, but it's what we call the spiritual reload, okay? And it's just intended to be once a week something that'll get you after Wednesday. That's the longest part of your week there, and get you something else to get to get through the week. And Pastor Leafley wrote put together this last week's article, and it's a little bit of a Bible study, but encouraging to see some truth from the Word of God, and he's got some more that he's sending that way also, but all sorts of things on there, and I would encourage you to sign up for that, or just at least visit it. If you know my name, then you can make it to this website, okay, and get a little bit of extra. But I say that in light of what I'm going to preach tonight is it's kind of a dangerous thing, because there is a mindset that there's, because of the internet, because of the little bit of technology we've been allowed to have, we can pick up Bible teaching and Bible training anytime we want to, so why be at church? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it, this is one thing I'm going to say for the benefit of hopefully somebody that's listening right now, because they would say, well, I need more. And I would say, why are you not here tonight? If you need more, why is the internet your first choice and not a church where you can get more? All right? And you're here tonight, so that wasn't for you. That was for somebody else. But it's always a temptation to kind of look somewhere to get some extra information and to keep our minds busy. But there's a problem. There's a big problem. Because right now we're in the age where information is free flow, and so First Amendment freedom, we love that. But here's the problem: you can't absorb everything that the First Amendment affords. All right, we've been over these statistics before, and I think they're much more inflated now. But YouTube receives 80,000 hours of video every day. Every day. You are literally watching somebody else's life. And of course, maybe to a certain generation you say, YouTube is not my thing. Okay, well tell me, if you have a dish subscription, how many channels do you have? How many channels on an average, cable or dish subscription? Can somebody help me out? I haven't. Two? More than two? 120. Okay, thank you. All right. Well, 120. And they all run 24 hours a day, pretty much. Maybe a few of them go off. All right, you can't do it. I know that there's a thing. Just in my lifetime, of course, I'm seeing this kind of evolve, and evolve is a great word for it, because you could listen to these lessons online. It was such a great thing, and then they started making these radio stations or these programs on your phone that you could listen to it double speed. Because, you know, if you're going to listen to all that you need, you got to get this one through so that you can get to the next one. Millions of podcasts, thousands of hours of video and endless, every church, not every church, hundreds of thousands of churches in the United States, every message is online and it'll be online tonight. And you're going to be here for this one. I'm so sorry. You have such an opportunity and you came for this one. But see, it was God knew how people's minds worked, and so there are some things that He reserved for the special meeting of His people in person. And God didn't put you in Hammond, Indiana to watch that service, and He didn't put you in Pensacola, Florida, and He didn't put you in wherever else you might want to be. Those might be good later on, but God put you in Baysville, Ohio, and He this is going to sound so weird, He gave you me, Pastor Leafley. I know. Terrible gift, right? But that's what God gave you because He knew what you would need. And He knew that you would take it from us better than you would take it from anybody else. And to look at other stuff is not a bad thing, but here's the danger. In the old days, you would have the media was coming out at such a slow pace because somebody was sitting behind a desk somewhere and he was the editor. He was the editor, whether it was a newspaper, whether it was the director of a station or a station manager of a TV station, and he would say, we've got an hour here and it's got to be good. And so, we've got this page of the newspaper and it's got to be true. And they would fill up their desk with submissions of things that people could know. And that guy would sit behind that desk and he would look at 10 of them and throw away 9 out of 10 of stuff that today, if we grasp that, we would say, oh, the censorship of information. No, not censorship. Editor. You know what you need in your life? You need an editor because God intends for you to be and do something that only a certain amount of input points toward. There are lots of stuff out there to learn, but is that helping you be what God wants you to be? And I want to show you a man that pointed to the media that God wanted him to have and to a man that directed people to the correct media that they ought to have and what that did. His name is John the Baptist. So we're in John chapter 1, verse 19. I thank you for the patience through the introduction. And I hope I didn't lose you in the introduction there. That may seem, I've had it said twice today, that was deep. I don't want to be deep. I really don't. And I'm sorry, if you think I'm deep, it's just, I'm confused, okay? It's not that I'm deep, it's just that I've fallen down in the shallow end, okay? That's it looks like I'm deep, but I'm just flailing in 3 foot of water, okay? It's not that complicated. John chapter 1, verse 19, let's read a little bit about John the Baptist, the editor, all right? And it says this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that send us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight in the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth Abara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. We'll stop our reading right there. But with John, as he reported what he saw, as he pointed people to Jesus Christ, and the true success of his ministry was when people left his church. What a great man to follow. Let's pray. Father, we ask you for wisdom tonight. God, I ask, Lord, that you'd help me not just to be an explainer of your word, but a preacher of it. Lord, I pray that you'd let us leave here with something on our plate spiritually, something that would have fed us. God, information doesn't feed us. The Spirit feeds us. The inspiration of the Almighty give us life, Lord. And that's what we need tonight. God, I don't just want to communicate cross references. I want you, Lord, please, to breathe through your word tonight and stir us up, Father. Fill us up and help us, Lord, to seek to be the kind of person and live the kind of way, God, that would point others to Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to stay pointed to Christ in our own life as we go through tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, John chapter 1, this long passage we read, John lives to point people to Jesus. That is the whole reason he's living and breathing. John was made, John literally was, the man was made because of a prophecy in Isaiah. And you see that even as people said, John, who are you? And he goes back to that prophecy in Isaiah, which we'll see at the end of the message. We're going to go there. But John believed what he read so much that when Jesus Christ came in front of him, it was obvious what his mission was. His mission wasn't to draw people to him. His mission was to draw and point people to Jesus Christ. And while it was just John, fine, follow John. But as soon as Jesus showed up, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And everybody in his church got up and said, Bye, John, we'll see you later. And they left. And of course, that was the first church split. And that's a Baptist responsible for the first church split in history. You're welcome. No. But that's how it happened. And actually, it was Jesus that caused it, not John. All right, so take that. But that was John's whole point. John wasn't there to cultivate a following. He was there to cultivate a leaving. All right? And in your own life, see, sometimes our goals are us-centered. And we can quantify a lot of those. We want to live X number of years. We'd like to retire at a certain age. We'd like to save so much money. And it becomes an inflow. And when we get it, we think mission accomplished. But John had an entirely different view, and everything that he did and everything that he said was a complete outflow. It was a complete opposite effect. And thing is that John was... He was definitely a unique person, and what made him unique was he just believed what was wrote in the Bible about him. He just believed that. That's what made John who he was. He was not only a reporter, but he was a journalist and an editor. He reported what he saw, he gave his opinion about it, and then he made sure that anybody that listened to him would listen to him. Anybody that would listen to John is going to hear Jesus. You may hear somebody else out there, but when you get used to John, you're going to desire Jesus and nothing else is going to work for you. And I want to show you how that happened in John's life. Let's come to Luke chapter 7. We're going to bounce around in the Gospels just a little bit and read some passages here. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And the thing is, you know, lots of people say, well, I want to be like Christ, and we ought to be Christ-like. But you know what was so strange about John was that John believed the Bible. He saw Jesus. But when you stood John next to Jesus, you couldn't have gotten two more different people. And you know, the biggest fault about John the Baptist was, you're nothing like Jesus. But you know, God never intended him for him to be to have that ministry. Now, we're supposed to be like Christ in virtue, and I believe John was. We're supposed to be like Christ in our compassion for other people, and I believe John was. But as far as the presentation and the way of life, Jesus did a lot of things that you couldn't do with a clear conscience. I mean, just on our level, Jesus sees a woman that he knows is an adulteress, and he waits till his disciples are gone so he can sit down by the well and talk to her for a little bit. You can't get away with that. All right? None of us guys can. You know why? Because we ain't wired that way. Jesus did that, and when his disciples saw him there, and when people saw him there, nobody thought of anything wrong going on. But that's because it was Jesus and not you or me. Now see, John never did that. All right? That wasn't John at all. John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Let me show you how different he was. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because that is going, that thing to be, just to point people to Jesus doesn't mean you have to take all the, you know, all the shortcuts that somebody that's pure and holy can. You don't get shortcuts, alright? Lots of people that want to be like Jesus, they want to take on the devil. And great, that's fine. We'll do your funeral, okay? That's what, you don't understand. That's not something you go out looking for. Jesus was driven into the wilderness and he beat the devil. But he was pure. Just like you wouldn't mess with the adulteress by a well, you don't mess with the devil. All right? And John never picked a fight with the devil. You see, he could point people to Jesus Christ while being different. That's going to sort through a lot of media that you're absorbing this week. And hopefully that'll sort through even your devotions and lots of Facebook posts that are going to just tell you nice, sweet things that are just not true, okay? Because in the real world, you need John the Baptist to point people to Jesus, okay? Now, verse 18 here. Luke 7, verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? John was subject to doubt. And John asked questions. That's not being like Christ. I mean, when did Jesus ever doubt his calling or, you know, question God? But you see, John could do that, and that's something that John's need to do. It's something that we need to do because sometimes our faith runs a little thin and we need to go back to the source and ask a few questions. That's okay. Not every question is born of doubt. This one wasn't born just of abject doubt. It was just that John really didn't know. You know why he didn't know? Because he's locked up in jail and he's not seeing what's going on. Okay, so that he's got an excuse. He hasn't seen Jesus do any miracles. He hasn't heard any of his messages. He is in the slammer and that's where he's going to die. Okay. So he didn't know, he just honestly, Jesus, what are you doing? Is this real or not? Verse 20, when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities, and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Maybe John was a little bit. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John, and he said this, What went ye out for in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? I mean, what did you think John was when you saw him the first time? Verse 25, But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. Now this is Jesus talking, and I know, and Jesus was not wealthy by any means, but Jesus wasn't in camel's skin, and Jesus wasn't eating locusts dunked in honey. He's doing all right. He's pointing out the fact that, yeah, he was different. He was supposed to be different. You paid attention for a little bit. And he says this, verse 26, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. You see, the converts that John made affirmed what Jesus said. When Jesus said that, it said that they justified God because they had been baptized under John. They said, he speaks the truth. And people, the biggest complaint against John was, he's nothing like you, Jesus. That was, and the Lord said, that's the biggest compliment you can give him. Watch down here, look at verse 32. Look at verse 33, I'm sorry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he hath a devil. He's so weird. He doesn't do anything we do. There's no dancing. You know, there's no, I mean, he dresses so modestly in that camel skin. I'm stretching it. Okay, that was a little bit of a stretch. I don't know if he was, how modest camel skin is or not. I'm sure it's probably not very comfortable. But it can't smell the greatest, all right? But that's the end of what I know about it. But they said he's got to have a devil. You know, he eats those locusts and he chews with his mouth open. You know, I mean, when you start nitpicking, you know, there's no end to where it can go, right? And he eats wild honey. You know, not even good domestic honey, you know, whatever that means. But then he says this in verse 34, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And Jesus said, I came to you and I was purposely the opposite of him. And you don't like me either. But you know what Jesus knew? If you'd accept him for his quirks, you'll accept me when you see me. You'll know, despite the personality difference, you'll know that the content is there. In other words, John may have had a wild and crazy testimony and a wild and crazy life, but all that he put out and everything he said pointed was very honed in. It wasn't about, you know, it wasn't about living the purpose-driven life. Okay? It wasn't about being your best self now. There was no fuzzy area where you can be good without God. No, John said, repent. You get in this water or you're going to hell and you're a serpent and a child of the devil. That's what he told them. And boy, they hated him. But the few that did, that came down and they heard what John said, when Jesus came, Jesus was so much nicer. And he was so much sweeter. And he was so much more normal. Jesus is normal. Can we just say something? Jesus is normal. This world is crazy. The world has gone mad. Jesus is normal. The next time somebody says, I don't believe religion, it's just too many weird things in it. No, they're weird, okay? They are weird. Weird with a capital W-I-E-R-D. Did I spell that right? I don't know how you spell weird even. It's so weird. They're weird. Jesus is normal. And we're supposed to be the eccentric ones, and John was the eccentric one that pointed people to Jesus. For whatever they thought of him, they just needed to listen to what he said. And when they listened to what he said, when Jesus talked, the appearance was different. The attitude was different. The delivery was different. But the words were the same. The words were the same. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Why is that so important? Because Jesus, in a few weeks, was going to be leaving this earth. And they said, Jesus, we know you. We're never going to doubt you. We can see you. And Jesus said, Listen to everything I'm saying. Listen. And he taught them. He said, I'm going to talk to you. And they said, why so much talking, Lord? Just let's go out and heal somebody. No, listen. Why? Because then they see a cloud gather under his feet. And Jesus says, I'll see you in a few years. And they go, Lord, wait, no, you can't leave. And he said, listen. And that same voice has continued to this day. And my sheep hear my voice and they know me. When John, with whatever voice he used, I'm sure he had a preaching voice, you know, because every Baptist has a preaching voice they put on. This is my preaching voice. I'm putting it on right now. Do you like it? Is it okay? It's whatever, you know. I'm working on it, okay? But, you know, you have your preaching voice. But John the Baptist, when he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, when they saw Jesus, Jesus said, I am I am the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. They heard it from John, and then they accepted it from Jesus. The words matched up. You know what's wrong with the content of this world? That what you're going to get, what we gravitate towards in our news feed, in our social media feed, and what causes us to push aside all the restraints, all the better judgment, is we're looking for somebody that's going to make us feel right, and we're not actually listening to anything they say. You can hear God's voice if it's God's words. If it matches up with Him, you can detect it. But if we're not used to what we're supposed to be used to listening to, who knows where it'll take us? Who knows where it'll go? And see, John, he was not like Jesus, but he was shaped by the words of a prophet. He believed what God wrote about him, and it was him not being like Jesus that helped people not to stay stuck with him. Let me show you how they didn't stay stuck, all right? Let's come to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You see, John's life, he had more than just a life. He had a light. His light was the words that he said. It wasn't it wasn't his charismatic personality. I mean, his ministry was so short. Do you think the Lord's was short? 3.5 years. I mean, his ministry was so short. And he preaches and he convicts somebody. He talks to the wrong person about sin and he's in jail. For most of the time Jesus is walking around on earth, John misses it. And then John 5, he's dead. He misses the last two-thirds of Jesus' ministry. He's dead. You say, well, that's obvious. He was doing something wrong. It was his caustic personality, you know? No, it was him. He was just doing what God wanted him to do. And God used him right up to the end. And Jesus testified to that. Look at John chapter 5, verse 33 is where we're at. John chapter 5, verse 33. John he's now dead, but here's what Jesus said. He said, "You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." Boy, that's a valuable and a rare thing today. "But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved." Verse 35, about John, "He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." He said about John, John left you something. You sent to him, and he testified of me. And you were willing to rejoice in that light. Now they didn't rejoice in it for very long. They got a little stuck there for a while. And the people that rejected John ended up rejecting Jesus. But come to John chapter 10 now, and even the very memory of John, even as we get farther away from John's death, there it was kind of fresh, and it was, he had just died. But now we're months later, all right, years later. And in John chapter 10, the very end of this chapter, Jesus does something very strange right before he raises Lazarus from the dead. Verse 40, John chapter 10 and verse 40. Jesus makes a visit to a familiar place where it all started. It says, "And he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized." Well, I wonder what Jesus was thinking there. I wonder what those disciples were thinking. They saw that water and there's nobody waist deep in that water anymore. No more stirring of the waters. No more crowds gathered to see the crazy man in the wilderness. But then they begin to look around and, they've had a crowd of 5,000 plus people around them, clamoring to see Jesus. Here they've just been chased out of town. They tried to kill him. They've had a wild ride since that. But they went back to where it all started. And when they went back to where it all started, it says there he abode, in verse 41, "And many resorted unto him and said..." Now here's what happens. They go to this place on purpose. Jesus brings them there and they start to remember John. And what do they remember about John? John did no miracle. Nothing like Jesus. Bad thing? No. John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Mission accomplished. And the Bible says that many believed on him there. You see, that's what John was there for. He was meant to be the editor-in-chief. Those Jews had been hearing. I want to tell you guys that, in between the Testaments there, you have the Maccabean Revolt, and the books of Maccabees where, you know, all that was chronicled, and there were so many false pseudepigrapha, false scriptures come up in that time. The Jews were hearing all sorts of things, and they were so confused. You know, the tradition, sometimes we read in the Gospels that the traditions of the elders, and they use words like Corban. What does that mean? In Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you say to your brother, Reka, where did that come from? What was that? That was 400 years of just the devil getting in there and throwing everything he could and saying, no, you got to do this, got to do this, and clouding up all the prophecy and clouding up all the direction that the Jews had been getting. When John came, he was a torch, all that darkness, and he was a torch and a light and said, let's clear the table here. Stop listening to everything you've been listening to and hear the words of God. Hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And they got used to John, and then they got used to Jesus, and they believed on Jesus. You see, I want to ask you, is the things you listen to, is that a funnel that's getting you closer to God, or is it just information that makes you feel better and feel like a more cultured, you know, person in society? Because if it's got to be one or the other. Jesus said, he that is with me, he that gathereth with me is for me, but he that is against me scattereth. He said, there are only two things in this world, things that draw you to Christ and things that make you scatterbrained. John, we know what John was, and I like that about him. But John's legacy continues on. Let's come to Acts. We've got just two more places to go, and then we'll be done tonight. It is 8 o'clock if you were worried or keeping track. If you're sleepy, you've got 15 more minutes. You can still slip a catnap in there. Acts chapter 18. If you're not sleepy, please stay with me. Please stay tuned for this important message. And please think, as we leave each passage, I hope you understand, there's not some deeper thought that's resting there that, you know, you're going to have to just get because you didn't see what I saw. That's not what it is. We read the Scripture, and what you saw was what I saw, which is why we're going where we're going, all right? There's no other deeper thought. I'm just trying to prevent somebody telling me how deep this message was when we're done, all right? Trying to keep it in the kiddie pool side, all right? We're just following John here, okay? And if anything deeper than that happens, it wasn't my fault. All right? It's not my fault, not guilty. Acts chapter 18. Let's look down at verse 24. This is fairly late in the as far as the apostles are concerned, in the apostolic acts that are going on in the Acts of the Apostles. This is fairly late. Paul is taking off missionary journeys here. I believe he's on his second one here. And it says in verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. All right, pay attention now, these details. Mighty in the Scriptures. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Man, what a find. This guy's got it together. Where did he come from? Knowing only the baptism of John. Now, listen, I understand dispensations, and I understand that at this point, you know, we're 30 years past John, okay? Everybody's like, you know, we've moved beyond John now. You know, what are you still doing listening to that? What are you still doing reading that? That's kind of old, you know? That's like somebody wanting to learn dispensations and getting Clarence Larkin. I mean, isn't that kind of old? No, that's about where we need to be, all right? It doesn't need to get any newer than that. You can build on the old stuff. Because see what happens, this man is preaching the Scriptures, he's opening up, and he recognizes the Word of the Lord from John because he's been reading his Bible. And the Bible matched John. Well, watch this. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Hey, that's all right. We'll take that. What's he preaching? Repent and be baptized, like what John preached. He's saying, let's get back to the Jordan River because that's what I read my Bible and that's what we got to do. But watch this, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What did they do? Aquila and Priscilla mentioned all through Paul's epistles, friends of his. They said, hey, We got something to tell you. God's been speaking through this man named Paul, and here's what he said. Now, Apollos was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures. He wasn't just going to believe anybody that came off the street to just tell him, you know, hey, you're preaching wrong, you got to change your doctrine. That's pretty severe, isn't it? I mean, for a guy that's reading his own Bible, preaching his own messages, and has got the boldness to stand up on a street corner and testify for the Lord, and two people come and say, now, we've got something to tell you, and we know what you've been preaching, but here's what Paul's been preaching. All right, I think we're destined for another church split. That's where we're headed. It's got to be. What's verse 27 say? It says, and when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You know what Apollos had, even though he was not like Paul? He had John. He got used to hearing the teaching of John. And he had two church members come and say, now, we want to show you something, because you've got an incomplete, your education is a little lacking. And they showed him. You know what he did? You know what happened? He got used to hearing the words of God through John, that when the words of God came through somebody else, he recognized it. He didn't see it as a challenge to his authority. He didn't see it as somebody trying to mess up his ministry. He was listening to God. And when God changes your path and your direction, if it's Him, if you're used to hearing His voice, you just say, oh, okay. And within two verses, He's there helping them understand the Bible. What happened? That's John's ministry. John the editor. Okay, maybe that's the title of the message, Brother Dustin. I know it's a little bit too late for that now. But you see what John did? He got them used to hearing one stream of information from one source, and that whoever spoke that source, they went to, because they could recognize when it came from God. They recognized the words of God. I was going to say that's deep, but that's a blessing. I want a ministry like that. I want that. I want that kind of focus, that I'm going to know when God's talking to me. And can I tell you, church, that's why you're here in Baysville. That's why you came to church tonight. I'm not saying that every other ministry that puts their messages online, is against God, but I am saying this. God is getting you used to hearing the words of God from us, and we're nothing like Christ, so that you can judge by this and be able to recognize the words of God. And if it is the Word of God, listen, there's going to be agreement from at least this pulpit. I know your pastor reads his Bible multiple times a year. I read my Bible at least twice a year. I'm shooting for three times a year. And listen, we're wanting to get used to hearing God's words. And when God speaks, we don't want to be the last ones to know. We want to be there. But if God speaks to you, if it is His voice, through this media, you're getting used to hearing it. Through the other media, I don't know. I don't know. I can't vouch for it. But I know what God gave us here and now, and I'm so thankful that what happened with John was he was dead, and people were still turning to Christ based on what they heard him say. They were still acknowledging, even though they hung on to John as long as they could, when they heard words of God, they said, that's what John said. And that we're going to have to do that. It's different. We're going to have to do that, because that's what God said to do. All right? Now, it happens again in Acts 19 there, verses 1 to 5. There's some disciples of John. And it's the same thing happens again. So, such a blessing twice in this passage here. You see, in verse 2, it says, He saith unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, that's pretty primitive, I guess. Verse 3, And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Where did you miss out? And they said, Well, we were baptized to John. And from there, Paul says, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And you know what they did? They said, Well, we're going to have to talk to our pastor about that. We're going to have to Google that one. No, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized. Can people's minds change that suddenly? Can people be that yielded to the Holy Spirit that when just hearing one sentence from one preacher one time, they're like, yeah, you know what, you're right. If they're tuned into the right media, it can be. When they have John as their editor, they can. But when you start tuning into the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the local radio station and the popular podcast and the prayer cast and the sleep cast and the nature cast, and there's all these things out there. Millions of people out there. And we've got freedom of information. Great. But you don't need all that information. I'm not here to censor you. I'm here to edit for you. And I'm here to try and give you a desire to be your own editor. This legacy that John had. You have to move from John to what John believed. That's what John helped you to do. John was who he was because he read a portion of his Bible and he believed it. When they came to him and said, who are you? He said, I am the guy that Isaiah told you about. Come back to Isaiah chapter 40, and this is where we'll end. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Who was, what made John the rough and ruthless character that he was? What gave John the clarity, the authority, the keen wisdom to know what God would say so that years later, people that only listened to John would be instantly converted to Jesus Christ? He just got used to speaking what God said. He just got used to it. And here's what made him, Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll start in verse 3 and read down through here just a minute. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Not all that happened the first time Christ came, and John was looking forward to the whole thing being fulfilled, and it wasn't. God changed his mind. But you know, when God changed his mind, he left his word, and so nobody got hung up on what John said that hadn't been fulfilled yet. They said, that was the Jesus that John preached, and they were able to switch over. John believed what he was reading here. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You see that? That is an isolated stream of information that you can www. All day and never, ever, ever find. And you could just throw it in the river, and you could turn off every AM radio, every FM radio, you could throw away every book, every devotional, you throw them all away. And John, I don't believe, was a great reader. I believe he had one scroll that he carried around with him, if he carried one at all. Maybe it was just in his memory, because as a child he memorized this thing, his father Zechariah in the temple, and he memorized this thing. He didn't have a whole lot else behind him. He just had one passage of Scripture. Verse 6, the mouth of the Lord, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Imagine John reading this as a child. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. That's what John preached. Now it's not given verbatim like that in the New Testament, but that's what he was reading this passage here. That's why he got on so many people's nerves, because he was taking all their confidence away from them and putting it all on him. Well, a him that he'd never met yet. You remember John 1 where we started? John said, he was here, but I didn't know him. John couldn't have pointed out Jesus in a crowd if his life depended on it before God told him, this guy right here. It was his own cousin. Maybe he doubted because he was his cousin. Maybe he just, you know, they were away, grew up at different places and he didn't know who he was. He couldn't have pointed him out. But you know what he did know? He didn't know what God sounded like. And when that voice said, there he is right there, the Spirit like a dove descended on him, the voice said, this is my Son. There he is right there. And John said, there he is, behold the Lamb of God. I know him now. And once John recognized him, everybody recognized him. And they all ran to him. Can I just tell you today that John's gone. He's gone. He's dead. You don't have any more John preaching. There's no John tapes you can get. You're not going to be able to go back and go through the John School of Theology. It's over. Jesus said, I have other witnesses than John. I do miracles. You don't have no more miracles anymore. It's gone. There's no more. No more laying on hands of people. No more apostolic signs. It's gone. You don't have that anymore. And Jesus said, I've got another witness. I've got the voice of my Father from heaven. We're beyond that one too. God's not writing messages in the sky. The Spirit's not falling like a dove on your head to show you you're, you know, anything special or if I'm anything special. We don't have that anymore. What do we got left that is of the nature of John that will help us to know the voice of the Lord? Can I just promote to you tonight, whether it's in your lap or not, it ought to be in your heart. Whether it's a priority in your day, listen, other things are going to be a priority in your day, but if you don't know the voice of God, you're really, as a Christian, you're living a second-rate Christian life. You're just wandering around and you don't even know the baptism of John. You say, well, I'm saved. I know more than that. Well, okay. All right. But what you take in shows me that you don't. What you take in proves to you that you don't. You see, what did John read here? What do we have? The grass withereth. This last verse I'll read to you is Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. You know what John had that'll get you in tune with what's going on in heaven? You've got a book that, as somebody said at the conference we're at, and beautiful truth. The grass, what is that? That's papyrus. That's what they wrote the scriptures on, the originals. They wrote them on that. What is it? It's grass. You know what God wrote, had Isaiah write that he wanted John to believe? John, the words that I'm going to speak are going to last longer than the page they're written on. They're going to last longer than the men that wrote them and spoke them. The words that I've spoken, they're eternal. The grass is going to wither. That page will shrivel up and fade away. The flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You've got something so unique right now. There are 200, I counted, this is a year old count, but 228 since 1881 redos of the Bible. 228. Is God stupid? I hope not. Because it sure would seem that way if in the last 120 years, 228 revisions of the Bible, is he going to get it right ever? Or do we have something here? Folks, what you have here is something that can never be recreated again. Even with technology, no matter how formidable the technology gets, no matter how widespread information gets, no matter how intelligent man becomes, you've got a book that's unique in history. It can never be duplicated. It can never be improved on. It is a work of art. It is a literal work of art that everything else is just a cell phone snap picture of it. Stradivari. Made over 400 years ago, made his famous Cremona violins, whose quality has never been surpassed. The Stradivari violin, the Stradivarius. Stradivari is credited with the authorship of the following specifications for making a perfect violin. I thought this was neat. He said, to carve a violin, first step, go to the Black Forest and cut out the heart of a tree 300 years old. Carry the wood to Greece and leave it there for 100 years to absorb the eloquence of Athenian orators, to witness the tragedy of Grecian masters for 100 years. Then take it to Italy for another 100 years, saturated with the greatness of ancient Rome for 100 years. Then Take it to the White Cliffs of Dover for another 200 years. Let it take in the sweep of the tide, the flash of lightning, the rumble of heavy thunder, and the rhythmic beat of the waves. 200 years. On after that, take this wood for another 100 years to the newly built Palace of Versailles. Let it there absorb the gaiety of the nightlife, the dignity of the court, the majesty of its architecture. Another 100 years. But that's not all. One more century to the mountains of Norway to gather the clash of the avalanche, the sputter of waterfalls, the steady pulse of peasants. That's a long time to make a violin. I think this is a little tongue-in-cheek here, but you know what he was trying to get across? He was trying to get across that you can't make a violin like I make a violin. You'll never be able to. You don't possess, you don't have what it takes to make the sound that I can create when I make my violins. You don't possess, there's not enough time in history to go back to redo what God has already given to us, what God has already spoken. The book that John had, the scriptures that he believed, that instantly caused people to recognize the voice of God. You've got it. And you can't undo it. You don't need to, it doesn't need rewritten, it needs reread. If you spent your whole lifetime, and can I tell you, there are so many people that are doing just that, spending their whole lifetime just to prove that they can improve on God's Word. And you know what's going to happen to them? Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. And you know what's going to happen? This King James Bible is just going to go on and on and on, taking people that will listen to this and hearing it from the voice of your pastor, I hope you can recognize if we speak truth, I hope you can recognize it. If we mess up, I hope you can recognize it. And when you see it out there, somebody's going to try to tell you what God said or what God wants or how Jesus would do things. Okay, but remember, you've got the voice of God, and my sheep hear my voice, and they'll know me. Can you recognize the voice of God? If not, maybe call the editor up and get him to work for you. Let's stand for a word of prayer tonight.